This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Got a great show for you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon right here on AM 870. And we're going to talk a little health and physical fitness with our good friend Steve Morgan today. Let's bring in our buddy Steve. Steve, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm sort of wondering, I know this is an old, you know, some things never change. And I'm guessing that this thing probably never changes. But when you miss a few days or when you have to take a few days off, should you just start back to where you missed, or should you do it something else?
Well, Earl, you always want to take it down a notch when you come back, and it depends on which type of exercise you're talking about. If it's skill-related, then you always want to start off, you know, a little bit slow, warm up, and then try to pick that skill up, such as, like frisbee, tossing the disc around the yard, things that golf, and, you know, just start out a little slow, skill-related, tennis. You know, these types of activities, if it's physical, then you want to go ahead and make sure that the entire workout has been dropped down to go along with the depreciation in your cardiovascular anatomy and your musculature according to how long you've been away from the activity. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's the distinguishing difference between a skill-related game set activity versus just strength training or just being in a cardiovascular environment.
Okay, because, yeah, I notice I usually, when I've missed, for example, if I miss a few days of lifting, I drop down and just start a little bit slower. That's the right thing to do, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Control your tempos with the load. That's always, once you start to decrease as a frequent exerciser or infrequent exerciser, once you start to decrease momentum in your workout, you'll get a much better workout, and it's a lot safer.
Okay.
You know, until you get to the point where you've been training enough to get into some of the Olympic lifts and things of this nature where you start to move the load. Which brings me to a hot topic right now, which is that doggone CrossFit and cross-training. You know, the weather's getting better, Earl.
That's true.
People are going outside in their backyards and they're making little makeshift outdoor gyms out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hottest thing going.
And for all the people that like to work out or just want to get used to working out, that's probably a good way to start, isn't it?
It's a good way to start, but once again, it wouldn't hurt to get a little advice from a professional. We downplay the significance of professionals in the fitness field all the time. Everyone thinks that they can just go out and pop off a good workout. Next thing you know, you're going to see the chiropractor or your doctor. You know, because you did something wrong, you went too hard too fast, or you chose objects that were too heavy and too awkward to grip, and you end up dropping them on your foot, you break your foot. You know, these things happen, you know. So, you know, the backyard strength and conditioning is just the same as it was a little bit safer than the backyard wrestling that we've seen go viral on the internet, but there is a potential risk of injury if you're not doing some simple things to make sure. Number one, I would suggest always making sure that you have enough room around you to do and complete the workout that you're setting out to do. And that doesn't mean that half of the area is surface is level. It means that the whole surface that you're going to be training in should be consistent. Number two would be make sure that you have a total body workout handy. That means that you do some legs, which means that you need to do walking lunges, you need to do some type of squatting or some type of bending to get the entire kinetic chain involved of the lower extremities, which means that you have to flex at the knee and the hip and the ankle to involve all the major muscle groups of the lower body and indeed all the muscle groups of the lower body. Number three, you want to make sure that you have taken a good care to ensure that you're going to get some type of cardiovascular component. And along with that, you come stretching and yada, yada, yada. But if you can get all those three things in place, the backyard is a wonderful place. It's convenient, it's safe, and you control the environment 100%.
Steve, is one thing that I've heard when I talk to friends and stuff, especially with the people that are a little older, you know, that might be in my age or maybe even around there. A lot of people, when they get older, they say, Earl, they want to start out working out like they used to work out 20 years ago. I don't know how can I get them or how can you get them not to do things like that?
Well, I mean, you're beating a dead horse. I mean, seriously, I mean, we've been talking about it for umpteen years now.
Yeah, we still need to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're just beating a dead horse on that one. You know, the most important thing is, if, you know, is to get people up and let's get them moving. You know, on a day like today, the streets and the sidewalks and the residential areas in our community, if we really want to make a shot at stubbing obesity and creating a positive foundation for kids to observe, then more and more people need to take their exercise out of the gyms and into the streets so people can observe you doing it. The fever is something. Once a whole community gets involved in training, it's a wonderful thing. I've seen it in different countries. With community centers and stuff in Sweden, and we're just not there yet in our community. I mean, there are a lot of individuals, and this is the other thing I wanted to point to our listeners. You need to grab one of those Healthy and Fit magazines, because in there they normally have schedules of events and whatnot. I think that came out like maybe two issues ago. Mm-hmm. Or you need to go online and check at the website and try to figure out what event are you going to do this summer. It's not if you're going to do an event. It's what event are you going to do? Are you going to start out with a walk? Are you going to go for the Big Daddy and do a triathlon at Hawk Island? I mean, what event are you going to do? Because all of that training in the winter is for naught if you're not putting it to functional use.
That's a good point. That's a good
point.
And
it helps with the goal setting, huh?
Yes, it does.
Well, Earl, what are you going to do this summer?
That's a good question.
Nah,
you got me on that
one. About a walking event.
Yeah, I think I can go. I can do that. I do want to get started again. As I told you, I've really missed all that running I used to do, and so I know I got to start somewhere. So if I can start walking, that would be good.
Well, when you decide what event to do, this is how extrinsic motivation works, Mr. Robinson.
Uh-huh.
When you decide what event it is to do, tell everybody.
Uh-huh.
So we all look for you there. That way, if you don't show up, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, then I know I'll hear from everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you do. So you get crafty with this whole motivation thing. Let everybody else do it for you.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Yeah. I do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are days I don't feel like training, but I just, you know, I have so many different training partners that people are always calling, and my support group is so large now that there isn't a day I got to do something, especially when the weather is cooperative as it is right now in Lansing. It's beautiful out.
It is. It is. That's for sure. Yes, I know I need to get going. So I'll say this. I'm going to try. I'm going to definitely try to schedule. I know once I schedule something, I'll follow through with it. But if I can get to that point where I schedule something, then I know you'll be on my back.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, but you have, you know, Kurt Vernier.
Yeah.
You know, you got different people that are regulars and that know you. And it's just a good thing for everybody if you can, you know, pick that event. And like I said, the websites are available, Lansing-based websites. Also, several billboards around town will highlight, you know, upcoming events and things of that nature. But a good walk, you know, for charity and whatnot on a Saturday morning, meet some new friends, get a little exercise, and it's good for the charity. So it's a win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah. Hey, it's one thing that I know I hardly ever talk to you about, and you're a part of that, but I never talk much about swimming. That's probably because I'm not a swimmer. So let's talk about swimming so much and how beneficial swimming is for folks.
Swimming is one of those activities where it's total body. And a lot of people forget that swimming is one of the best cardio respiratory exercises that you can do because it's with the pressure that's created from the water, which is called hydrostatic pressure, that promotes venous return. So your vascular system is a little bit under stress, and it pumps the blood, and it pushes blood back to the heart and throughout the entire body, and the heart pumps better, more efficiently. with that pressure. And you know, swimming is used and water is used in many therapies, you know, throughout the world. And, you know, the MAC has a wonderful water aerobics program, is probably the why and whatnot. I'm not you know, privy on the whys, but, you know, it's a wonderful activity that is understated. And, you know, in Michigan, you know, you got to go indoors if you want to become a consistent swimmer, because we just don't have the time outside to do it, you know. I mean, 1 or 2 months of swimming is nice, but it's not, yeah, it's not enough to get like cycling. I mean, if you really want to reap the benefits, you know, try a swimming program where you get in for about 6 weeks to 12 weeks, where you go twice a week with some consistency. You know, just like with any other activity, Earl, if you do it on a regular basis, the benefits are numerous.
And that's right. I've heard that all the time, and I know it's true, but, you know, I'm one of those. If I try to save someone, when I'll be drowned. I'll drown myself.
You know, as any rescue professional will tell you, that's the attitude that some people have and other people. But you're not supposed to put yourself in that position anyway. You know, that's where you have to know your limitations. And even if you were a swimmer, you know, it's very difficult to ask people to jump into an environment, you know, where someone is drowning. It's a difficult. I've been put in that position, and it's a difficult call to make, and especially when you're in deep water. You know, I was in the Mediterranean when it happened. It's a difficult situation to be put into, you know, because you're running into unknown at that point.
Yes, that would be tough. Hey, we talk about all kind of exercises from variety, from beginning to older folks, yep, to younger folks. Let me see. I think we've probably covered every aspect at some point.
The common denominator, Earl, is that you have to get out and participate.
Yes.
You know, I don't care what age you are, you have to participate. One other thing I was thinking about when you said all sports and ages and whatnot, I was thinking of the rowing program I saw in the State Journal that's coming up, where you can pay to go down a boathouse and get on some sculls, I think, and learn how to row in a program. That's another program that's available. We have things around our area in the Tri-County area. You really have to just look a little bit, and I'm sure you can find something that's going to get you outside and it's going to be something that you like to do. Hiking, I know at Rose Lake and up at Pinckney State Park and Brighton State Park and whatnot. I mean, these things are all available, and they don't cost much, if anything, maybe a pass to park, but they're available, and they're perfectly good for calling it exercise. I mean, if you're looking for a definition, getting up and moving with a pack on your back, that works.
You know, Steve, that's the thing. We do so many things. A lot of things, I think, we take for granted, or we don't count them as such. You have all those rolling machines in the gym. You have those. You have stair climber machines in the gym. You have all these kind of exercises that mimic basically things you're talking about that we can do outdoors.
Absolutely, Earl. That's where the whole stuff comes from. When they want to build a new piece of equipment, that's what they're looking at. You know, when you want to study how animals move, I mean, or when how athletes move, you want to study that so that you can extrapolate that at some point to the general populace, so you can help people from it. I mean, it's always the high end goes down to the general. You know, and that's why walking, you know, with a pack or without a pack or with a hand weight or without, well, the hand weight, no, because that raises your blood pressure. So when you first start out, please don't do that. Don't carry another load or anything like that. Just get out first and get moving and try to choose a surface. That's why hiking is so good. You know, it's an uneven topography. You know, it causes variations in your gait. It causes you to use more musculature. You breathe different. There's a different response, cardiovascularly speaking, when you change the topography, when you go up hills versus being flat. And when those come in intervals, it causes a cardiovascular response that's better than actually being in some of the exercise pieces of equipment that are steady state.
Okay.
And then also you bring into court, you know, balance and, you know, all that good stuff, Earl, and you're breathing outside. It's just a good experience.
That's true. Well, that's something that we all need to do a lot more of. That's for sure. So, Steve, hey, I want to thank you as always. You know, we'll have you back on again. We'll talk more health and physical fitness as we're trying. Our goal is, you know, it never changes. We're trying to get everybody up and moving and just do some moving. If you haven't been moving at all, we want to encourage you to just to get up and try something. Just, you know, make your body active. That's what everybody needs to do at some point in time in your life. You really just need to get up and do some moving, right?
Roger that.
Okay.
Roger that.
Yep. Hey, Steve, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Okay, take care, Earl. Get out there now. Choose your event, please.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. You're going to force me.
I tell you what, whatever you choose, I'll do it with you.
Okie dokie.
How about that?
Okay, that'll work.
Okay, put the pressure on.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking health and physical fitness, and yes, he's going to make me get out there and choose one. I might have to make you get out there with me as well, Jacob. You might have to get out there and do something. You don't look like you're in the best of health.
What does that mean?
Best of shape. You look like you're a little, you know, you're young, but I don't know how good a shape you're in.
I'll be one to admit I'm not in the best shape ever. I must say, you caught me on a good day because I did the 35-40 minute walk from my apartment to the studio today. So okay. It was such a nice day. I was standing at the bus stop and I said, why am I doing this? I can walk. I got the time. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think
it's a lovely day
for a lot of students are really busy. And I find the best way to kind of fit in that workout stuff, if you can't, you know, go to the gym or anything, is to just do it, you know, do it while you would do something else, or, like, you know, instead of taking the bus, walk. Makes it easier.
Okay. I heard something about you yesterday. I heard a little rumor about you.
You heard a rumor about
me? Yes, I heard a rumor about you that you're going to be graduating soon.
Yes, I'll be graduating in May, yeah.
Okay, well, congratulations.
I can verify that rumor, yes.
Okay, so that's good. You're getting out of the state and be out looking for a real job then, I guess?
Well, yeah, that's the idea, yeah.
that's good. Always lovely to see someone moving ahead and getting ahead and graduating. That's always a special time. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, we want to talk a little bit. We've got the Crosstown Showdown coming up. And I talked with Jake Boss Jr. about that, the Michigan State's baseball coach. They're going to be playing the Lansing Lugnuts down at Cooley Law School Stadium. So here's what Coach Boss first had to say about I think it's the fourth or the fifth annual Crosstown Showdown.
But this Crosstown Showdown is, you know, highlight of the year for us, really. And the Lugnuts are a class organization, and Pat Day and the group down there just does a tremendous job. You know, they welcome us with open arms over there, and it's just a great atmosphere. You know, to get a chance for our guys to experience a little bit of pro baseball, it's every kid's dream to play pro ball, and to get a chance to play against those guys, you know, in front of a great crowd and a great atmosphere is something that, you know, our guys will never forget.
And they'll have a great crowd there Thursday night. Tomorrow night it'll be as everyone in the Lansing area knows, it's Thirsty Thursday at Lugnuts at Oldsmobile Park, and you know, at Cooley Law School Stadium. We'll say that's the official name for it, Cooley Law School Stadium, the Crosstown Showdown. Well, we talked a little bit more about that, and here's what else Coach Boss had to say.
They're all going to be good. It doesn't matter, you know, really who we see, because, you know, they were drafted by the Blue Jays for a reason, and, you know, we really don't know who it's going to be or have any type of scouting report. But at the same time, you know, baseball is baseball, and it's a good experience for our guys to face some good pitching like that.
And, yes, that's what Coach Boss was talking about. I told him that I heard a little rumor that the Lugnuts will be having a few of their number one throwers up for that game. That, you know, since they got beaten by Michigan State last year, I don't think they're going to lose this year. At least they're going to try not to lose this year. They're going against the amateurs, and they're going to have a few more pros. So I just kidded with Jesse Goldberg Strassler about, so you're going to throw a few ringers in against the Spartans this year, huh? So we'll see how that goes. But it's going to be a very good game tomorrow night. It owes it at Cooley Law School Stadium. So coming out for the Crosstown Showdown, another good game between Michigan State and the Lansing Lugnuts. The time right now, 25 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, another thing that's happening this time, let's shift our attention to football a little bit. Well, you know, one of the players on the football team who played both ways last year, he played offense, he played defense, he played specialty, he played all of them at one, and that was Tony Lepet. And Tony, now this year, he's just going to be on the offensive side of the ball, just one thing he's going to do. So I asked Tony, you know, is he happy, is he pleased with just being on the offensive side? How would you like just being on one side of the ball now this year?
I like it because I can pay a lot more attention to certain stuff I do, and I don't have to, like, keep jumping back and forth. I didn't mind jumping back and forth, but I couldn't really, really, really get comfortable at one position because I was always back and forth. So I just like that I'm over here and I can keep getting comfortable every day and go in the film room and watch something and try to learn from it and bring it, apply what I learned back on the field the next day.
Well, you know, Jacob, that we've heard a lot about bounties in the last few days, especially with the bounties that is being thrown around about the New Orleans Saints. Well, I asked one of Michigan State's former players who used to be in the NFL about the bounty system and did they have it in his day, and that was Harlan Barnett. I asked Harlan, did they have bounties in your days? What was going on then? And he told me this is what about that whole bounty system.
Might have been some things where we say, okay, if you get a pick, you know, incentive type things, not bounty taking a guy, having him cart off, you know, it wasn't one of those deals. Not that I remember, and that's the honest guy's truth. So I do remember guys maybe throwing a little pot here together saying, hey, let's see how many picks we can get or how many sacks and all that type of stuff, but nothing taking a guy out.
Because a lot of people are wondering that it was the New Orleans or had to be more people than just New Orleans.
Right, that goes, yeah. I mean, everybody, I'm sure that goes way back far as picks, sacks, you know, big hits, stuff like that. But never intentionally trying to end somebody's career. No, never.
Okay, and that was Harlan Barnett talking about he didn't have much experience with that bounty system. But apparently they've always have a little unofficial culture of bounties, not taking somebody out and like that. But, you know, getting the good hit and things like that, getting as many picks as you can, that's football. And that's what they do in football. But, getting to knock somebody intentionally out of a game, that's totally, totally different. Yeah, so Jacob, did you hear anything about that from any other people or anything else about the whole bounty system or just on what we've heard on as far as what's going on in New Orleans?
Yeah, I've just heard the New Orleans stuff. I think that he made a really a good distinction in there is that there is this distinction of kind of incentives for basically doing your job, maybe getting a little extra money depending on the number of picks you have or players, you know, putting money into a pool and whoever gets the most sacks, you know, that's you know, monetary incentive. You're a professional, you're getting paid to do that. That makes sense. You know, no different than like a salesperson would get commission for selling something. I mean, that's essentially the same thing, but it definitely crosses that line and there's the distinction between doing your job and then getting, you know, an incentive to hurt somebody intentionally or going after somebody intentionally. But I've only heard it's really just been confined to the New Orleans stuff. There's, you know, hasn't been anything major from any other program. So it seems like it might just be confined to there. And, you know, that would, you know, make sense. But, you know, we'll see if anything else comes out.
Yes, that's for sure. But that's all we know for now. But who knows? There could be more coming out. I know Greg Williams is not going to appeal his suspension for the year. He's one that was the New Orleans defensive coordinator, and he was at other places, and he probably instituted that, and he says he's not going to appeal his suspension at all. So he's going to do his year plus or however long Goodell wants to keep him suspended. So that'll be interesting to see how long that one goes on. Will it be more than just a year? It's supposedly indefinitely. So I guess we'll find out what his meaning of indefinite is. If it's more than just a year, or is it just a year? Will it be a year short of a year? It'll be interesting to see how he defines that for sure. That suspension, or that year long, or more than a year long suspension with him. Well, we also I had a chance to chat yesterday. I had a chance to talk with Nick Hill, and Nick Hill. You know, he's a pretty shifty running back. He's small, but in the smaller guys, you know, I got to admit, I have a little affinity for the smaller running backs. Because I used to be a small running back, still the small running back. But, you know, the small running backs, they have to do more. They always have to do more in the game situation, in a game. If they want to get on the field, they've got to do more. So I asked Nick Hill, you know, what he thought about this. What more does he have to do to get on the playing field?
You know, showing them each and every day in practice that I could run the ball, be consistent about it, you know, like a pass pro, catch ball out the backfield, and it's just, you know, just getting more reps and going out there and showcasing my skills out there.
How are you as a pass catcher? How were you in high school?
I caught the ball pretty well in high school, and it trans over into college. So when we do stuff out the backfield or out of empty, you know, situations, I do catch the ball out of there. I don't drop the ball too much. If I do, then, you know, I get down and do push-ups right there and then. But I try to make sure that I can be an all-around back.
Okay. What about you? You know, we all have to. You have to be shifty. How shifty are you? And is that getting better as you were in your freshman year?
I would say so. From the running back drills that we do is working on our lateral movement. I feel that I've gotten a lot quicker, a lot faster since my freshman year. I've definitely got more comfortable with the offense, and I know what I'm doing out there. In my freshman year, my head was spinning, and just knowing that I'm, you know, what I do, and I can just react to the play instead of thinking about it, and that helps me be able to make more cuts and be able to make guys miss more.
Yes, and that's... That was Nick Hill talking about his running back exploits, or he hopes to have more of them this year. He's going to be running punt returns and kickoff returns, and then he just hopes to get a lot more play in the backfield. What do you think of Nick Hill? I know you've seen him in the past year or so.
Yeah, I also actually got a chance to see him in high school a little bit. He went to Chelsea High School, which is right around Ann Arbor. I went to Saline, same division in football. So I actually was able, I think my senior year, he was a sophomore, I think. And so I got to see him on the varsity team. And even back then, you know, when he was a sophomore in high school, he was impressive. And everyone's standing around like, who is this kid? But he is very shifty. And like a lot of those you know, small backs, he runs really hard. And really, a lot of the small backs tend to be really powerful. They're the kind of backs that, you know, you'll see a lot of times dragging people along with them. He's a good runner. He's a solid runner, solid running back. And I think that you know, as he matures and gets older in college ball, I think he has the potential to be a really good player in the backfield.
Okay, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527. Toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Now, coming up on Monday, we start our fundraiser for WKAR on Monday. But you know, you don't have to wait to Monday if you want to give to WKAR and support the WKAR programming. You can do that right now by calling 432-9527 WKAR, or just go to WKAR.org and put your pledge in, and it's easy to do. Just go to WKAR.org and put in how much you would like to give to WKAR to support our programming. So why don't you do that? And you do it now. Get out the way. You don't have to wait till Monday. You can just do it right now, right here on WKAR. You don't even have to wait. And I think a lot of you would like to do that right now. And get out the way. Get it done early. And that's the way, that's a good way to do it. Give to WKAR. We want you to pledge your support to the radio station and the TV station that you enjoy, and hopefully that's us, and you will enjoy giving both to either TV or radio. You can do either one, or you can give to both, either way, but support WKAR. We certainly appreciate it if you decide to. Once again, you can go to WKAR.org and follow the message board, or follow how you can give on the message board, and tell us about how much you like and you love to support WKAR radio and television. And it's 35 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and baseball season will be starting soon. Are you ready for the start of baseball season?
I am, and we talked a few weeks ago about it. You asked me if I did any fantasy baseball, and I actually do have a fantasy baseball team this year. My roommate he didn't have enough teams in his fantasy team, so he was going to create a fake account, and I said, I'll just join. So I do have a fantasy baseball team. I wasn't around for the draft, so it was auto-draft, so I still have to get familiar with my team, but I figured this would be a great way to force me to follow and watch baseball this year. So, I'm paying attention, and I'm actually looking forward to it this year.
Yeah, that's what I did. I when I first got into fantasy baseball, that was one reason why I got into fantasy baseball, because it would force me to keep up with the team, keep up with the players, and find out what they were. And that was a good way. When I was doing it, I was on top of baseball. Ever since I quit, I'm not on it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But boy, when you're in it, when you're starting, you're doing that every day, you have to find out something. You have to find out players, whether they're going to come up from the majors or not. It's a really a good way. Fantasy baseball is one of those that's really a good way to keep up with the sport and to keep track of it. Fantasy football is not the same. You know all the guys who are up, but you have to keep track of the minor leaguers in baseball, all the minor leaguers, because they might come up or they come up and then you're wondering, who is this player who they brought up, and that's the thing. So yes, you have to keep up on all of it in fantasy baseball, but that's a good way to do it, just to keep up with the sport. Football, a little bit different. Basketball is a little bit different. I had a fantasy basketball team. I had that one time. And you know what? I did pretty good. And that one time, it makes you, when you have some success, it makes you want to get up back in it again.
Absolutely.
Even though I never did it again.
It's like the game of golf.
Yeah.
My dad always told me when I was, when I would play golf with him and I was in high school, was that you just need one shot in your round of golf that makes you want to keep coming back. The rest of them can be bad, but you just need that one shot. Same thing with fantasy sports. You just need the one victory to keep you coming back.
Yeah, I had that one team. I had a very good team one year. I ended up finishing second in the league, but I never got back into it again. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever get into it again, but that was fun that one year that I finished second. But I've been a strong devotee of fantasy football. Been in fantasy football. We've been doing that for years. We have a media league, and a lot of us, we have a lot of fun with that.
It is fun. That is for sure. I won the bracket challenge of my group of friends. So, I get to, pound my chest for a week here and get the bragging rights for a little while.
And that's good. Hey, the time now is 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Is it possible to drive all the way across the country and never speak to a single person? Just to machines. Marketplace's David Brancaccio decided to try, and in Pittsburgh, he met Andy Royd.
The revolution is set for a week from Saturday. Okay, I'm kidding. It's this Thursday. Kidding again.
I'm Neil Conan. Robots ate my job. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for being with us today. For the rest of the afternoon, expect sunny skies and a high around 57. Then for tonight, mostly clear with some patchy frost and a low in the mid-30s. Sunny skies and breezy on Thursday, a little cooler, highs in the upper 40s, and then sunny again on Friday, highs in the mid-50s.
Well, you know, the Masters starts tomorrow. How much will you be following the Masters? And Jacob, want to get your thoughts? How much are you going to be following the Masters when it starts tomorrow?
I actually really like the Masters. I usually don't closely follow the first two rounds. I mean, I'll check who's leading and whatnot, but, you know, golf is the kind of game that things change so quick that, you know, the first two rounds, who's leading after the first, who's leading after the second, we'll see. But I definitely, on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, definitely be watching. And, it'll especially be nice because my dad's a big golf fan. He'll be home for Easter on Sunday, so that'll be nice to kind of enjoy that. But, no, I really like the Masters. And, it's so funny. I was watching all this, you know, Tiger wins one event, and now he's all of a sudden the favorite to win the Masters. And everyone kind of forgets Luke Donald, who happens to be number one in the world right now. And, you know, everything is Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. And golf is the kind of sport I don't like to predict because it's so unpredictable. It's so, you know, there's so much parity because, you know, you can go out, you know, one day, you know, it can be by round or by hole. I mean, we've seen Phil Mickelson in the Masters a few years ago and his just epic collapse in the last few holes. And so I don't generally like to predict it. If it's Tiger versus the field, I'll take the field.
I've always done that.
I don't think one victory, you know, of Tiger is going to be, you know, oh, he's back and he's going to be the dominant Tiger that we've seen in the past. You know, I think it's going to take, he's been down now for so long. It's going to take steps and baby steps to get back to the dominant way he was before. So, he's a great golfer. I think he'll finish probably in the top five, top 10. But I do not think that he'll get the green jacket.
Yes, I've always felt like I would always take the field. Even back in his heyday, I would take the field, just over him and the one person individually. He's one of the best golfers in the world, has been for a long, long time. Now he's back. You know, he had this two-year slump. He hasn't been that well, but it looks like, and I'm not one to say that, oh, he's back. You know, just because he won one event, he played great for four straight days. I think you got to do that two or three times to realize that you're really back. You don't have to win, but you have to play good for a whole 4 days.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to play good for four straight days in the game of golf. I mean, that's a difficult thing to do. And you become dominant like he did by playing consistently good for four straight days. And this is the kind of tournament where if he has one bad day, or one and a half bad rounds, that could really really make it difficult for him to win because, you know, you've got every great golfer in the world in this event. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he won, but I would not go out and say that he's gonna take the green jacket.
Well, something that has surprised, I think, you and surprised me, we're seeing all these players, the three Lions, in drug problems. Then we had, of course, Derek Nix here at Michigan State, caught with marijuana. But what is it? Just because I'm thinking, maybe because it's the off season. It's the off season, and guys, they're not not doing their sport per se. When it's the off season now, and they've got extra time on their hands, and some of them start doing things they shouldn't be doing because it's the off season.
Yeah, there is something to be said for when you're in a system or in a team like basketball or really any sport, and for 6 months you're in a very regimen, strict schedule is completely full kind of thing. You know, it's practice, class, games, that kind of thing. And you're surrounded by a group of people, a nucleus of people that, you know, kind of support you and are with you. It's harder. I can see where people come from with that, where once you get in the off season, you're outside of that system, it is easier to make bad decisions. I can certainly see that argument.
Yes. And that happens a lot. I know that that's the thing that stresses coaches out. Once the season is over, then it's their real season or it's the kids' season. I mean, especially I always look at football players when it becomes the off season. That's their season, their time for trouble. And I know I shouldn't say that, but some of them do get in trouble because it is the off season for them. Well, right now, let's go down to Kalamazoo and talk with Dave. Dave, do you get in trouble in your off season?
Well, I can. First of all, I can say that I'm glad I was never locked up for all my undetected crimes that I committed between 19 and 22.
You still be in jail.
Well, I don't know about that. I might be on probation. A long probation. But, you know, and that's not justifying anything, but yes. I can see where, you know, a player like Knicks or some of these other guys, but especially like Knicks, end of season, first time in what? Probably September. He hasn't had coaches breathing down his back.
Yep.
And, you know, he just took time to relax and made an awful decision. You know, my concern is not as much for, you know, Michigan State basketball is going to be fine whether they're there or not.
That's true.
I mean, the structure is going to be there. My concern is that for him, you know, he didn't grow up in the suburban Ozzie and Harriet lifestyle. And, you know, playing basketball, whether he's good enough to be in the NBA like Zach Randolph did, and let's face it, Zach Randolph had a pretty exciting life prior to coming to Michigan State as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
You know, so, I mean, all these guys aren't always Boy Scouts when they show up here anyway. But my concern for Knicks is the fact that, you know, I hope that he's is able to be show some enough contrition to Tom Izzo and hasn't had a number of things that have happened in the past that we don't know about that, you know, Tom Izzo decides to give him one more opportunity. Yeah. And he just hasn't disappointed the coach so much. Mm-hmm. But I also know that given the way Tom Izzo sees big picture, yeah, part of him is mad because he disappointed him. Part of it's mad because he's disappointed his teammates. Quite honestly, I think part of it's mad because I think he's feeling that part of this is taking the stage away from the football program, which Tom Izzo also cares about. So it's much more of a big picture issue. And then I just had one quick comment. The other day when I called talking about Sullinger and how he appeared to lose, you know, run out of gas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't meant to say that he's a bad player.
Right.
Because I think he's still going to be a first-round draft choice, maybe not quite as high as he might have been last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just think that it's very difficult. He's still a young guy, what, 19 or 20?
Yep, 2 years
and,
of college.
You know, 19 or 20, and he played right up until, you know, he was one under the maximum games a D1 player could play. And for as little as Chad, as modest substitutes, that's a lot of wear and tear on a young guy. And I think that goes. And I guess one other quick thing, watching Brittany Griner last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally didn't think that Notre Dame's coach is trying to insult her by saying that she played like a man.
Right.
Although ESPN is always desperate for a headline, so we know how that happens. Mm-hmm. But one of the announcers made reference to the fact that as a freshman playing against Texas Tech, she finally just cold cocked him.
Right.
Texas Tech player. Mm-hmm. And the fun and games ended. You know, suddenly the officials woke up and stopped the, I'll delicately call them the beefers that we often see in women's college basketball who play the five position.
Mm-hmm.
And those same players beat the dickens out of Alyssa DeHaan the whole time she was here.
Right.
And Alyssa DeHaan, I mean, I know her mother from way back, and I just don't think Alyssa DeHaan's got a mean bone in her body. So for Alyssa DeHaan, I mean, she was strong enough. She could have taken a whack at one of those players and probably could have saved herself a whole lot of grief by being a little bit more aggressive. You know, and that's the one thing that I will fault Susie Merchant. And Alyssa DeHaan was a freshman here when Coach P was here, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I would say that's the only thing I would fault both those coaches for. And part of it's because they just haven't had the experience prior, and there just hadn't been that many girls that athletic that they have coached. But right. It would have been nice for them to have an appointed Boston cop that would go down and beat on that other big that was beating on Alyssa on the other side of the court sometimes, too. You know, I mean, there was
never
saw any teammates trying to deliver any kind of equal retribution to the people who were beating on Alyssa DeHaan, I know that's not nice and that's not supposed to be the way the game's played.
Yeah, because guys will do that. I mean, in guy sports, we'll look out for a teammate or something. That rarely happens in women's sports.
Oh, right. I mean, you know, take any number of MSU basketball teams where they felt one player was getting taken advantage of physically by the other, and, you know, suddenly there are screens that the opposing player's grandparents feel from long distance, you know. I mean, they get the message. And I really think that, you know, Griner is she's a freak of nature, you know.
Yes,
it's not
no
often
doubt.
You find somebody who's 6'8", who can jump and has that kind of coordination. You know, it's unfortunate. Probably she's going to make most of her money overseas afterwards. But, you know, and I'll leave it with this. MSU gets their 6'7", Madison Williams back. And
well, let's hope they do.
If she can stay healthy, they can have a pretty formidable team. But, you know, unfortunately, Coach Merchant has only been able to play what if with Madison Williams now, right?
That's been it.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Thanks, Dave. Yes, we hope that she can come back and be healthy and play a whole year. That's for sure. I also wanted to talk about Nick Fairley, Mikhail LeSure, these Lions who have gotten themselves in trouble. They had one other player who had gotten Johnny Goldberth, who had also got himself in trouble, basically a possession. A lot of guys in the NFL have get into trouble with the drugs of some sort, and you know it makes you wonder. I mean, what happens? What's happening to them? And they're in the off-season program too, and their off-season program. But it's funny, you know, we don't, you know, when guys do it at the NFL level, we don't take it the same as it is when they do it at the college level. It's totally different.
Yeah, it's true, and it's just, you know, these guys know that you know, they obviously know what they're doing is wrong, and that the chances are very well they're going to get caught. But you know, I guess at the we sometimes forget, I think, with a lot of these college athletes that they are these, you know, Derek Nix is what, 20? You know, and he might look like he's 35, but he's still 20. He's still, you know, at that age where, you know, you experiment with stuff and you do things and you make poor decisions. And, you know, as much as that might be a negative thing with the college life, that is certainly what goes on in college. You know, you make those bad decisions and then you hopefully learn from them and move on. So, you know, it's not surprising that I don't think it's totally surprising that this happened, and I don't know exactly why people treat it differently from college and pros, but I guess it's, you know, you just, I think it has to do with the whole amateur professional thing. I think that might play in with it.
Yes, it does. The whole amateur professional thing. Yes, we look at the kids basically, you know, it's funny how we call college kids or call them kids, even though they're grown adults, even though most of them are 21 or under 21, but they're still adults. I mean, you're considered an adult basically when you're 18, but then we want to treat them and call them kids, and they're not really kids, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, I don't call them kids, but that's because they're the same age as me. I just, you know, I don't know if it has to do with an age thing or whatnot, but yeah, I mean, they're adults, but at the same time, sometimes we do forget that they're young, they're impressionable, and they're still in that college mode where they, you know, have this independence and experimentation phase of their life, and then go on to learn from it from there. So,
yes, and that's the thing, you know, we want them to act like older adults before they are older adults, but we certainly in our society we want them to act like they're an older adult, even though they're not.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the decisions you place on a lot of these kids going back to high school. I mean, the televised press conferences and where you're going to go to school and what hat you're going to pick up and, you know, what that's going to decide your future. And then furthermore, with a lot of these basketball players after 1 year, you know, deciding if they're going to enter the NBA draft or not, which apparently Jared Sullinger is going to enter now. We ask them to act like adults in many ways, and you know, sometimes the pressure of that can get to a lot of these guys. I mean, I can't even imagine.
I can't either. But you know, I'm also wondering. You know, we're still seeing like another thing on the paper today is Trey Burke going or is he staying? I mean, you know, that's going to be a big one for Michigan.
I think he'll stay. When Darius Morris left, I said, you know, I didn't think he was ready to go either. He turned the ball over way too much. He, you know, had ball handling problems. Trey Burke has a lot of similar issues. He can sometimes start moving too fast. He can sometimes turn the ball over a little too much. You know, just because I just hate that we're at the point that just because he had a good season, we're all like, oh, he should go to the NBA. I mean, he still has a lot of work to do. And I think even Jared Sullinger has a lot of work to do. He's obviously a little more ready, but I think Trey Burke will end up staying. You know, the timeline's running short here. He's got to make a decision
make a decision soon.
April 29th, I think, is the NBA deadline. So I think he'll end up staying, and I think he probably, you know, we'll see if he has a sophomore slump or not. If he has a good sophomore season, he'll probably take off. But if he has a slump, he could stick around again. But, you know, I think a lot, especially at the point guard position, it's such a important position, and there's so much, you know, you can make so many mistakes, and I think that he has a lot of work to do. I think he'll probably stick around another year and get a little better.
Well, he should. I mean, we all think that he should, but it's on him, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of guys, they'd be saying, or their advisor would be saying, hey, you don't have to stay in college, but you can go to the pros, and you can get paid to work out. You know, you'll be getting paid there, even though you may not be getting paid much or you may be getting paid some. You won't have a big investment, even though, you know, a lot of those guys, they think they're going to get paid more than what they actually end up getting paid. You know, so that's the problem with the college guys that are there, because they're all they're seeing is the dollar signs.
Yeah, absolutely. And all they see is a lot of, you know, they see players that, you know, leave after 1 year and they get these big paychecks and they always think that that's going to happen. And then when they have to sign on the dotted line, they say, oh, well, that's not as much as I thought. Yes. You know, what happens if he goes to the NBA and he has, you know, he plays 1 year and then he just, you know, and he's not very good.
NBDL.
Yeah,
after
and,
that.
Exactly. And he's, you know, and he gets cut. And we see that all the time with a lot of players. And he's, you know, so I think that it's in his best interest. And I think with the vast majority of freshmen, I mean, there are some exceptions. Anthony Davis at Kentucky is obviously, I mean, he's a freshman, but he is obviously an incredibly skilled player. You know, he is an outlier. For the majority of freshmen that even have good seasons, I think that it really benefits you to stick around. Even if you do get injured in your sophomore year, you have time to heal and to still get better. It's not like you're in your junior season and if you get injured, you know, you miss your entire senior year. You have that time available. So I think that it's probably in his best interest to stick around. And I think ultimately that's what he'll do, but I don't know. That's just a guess.
Yeah, we're both hoping that he would stick around, that it would be in his best interest, and not just for the fans. You know, the fans want them. The fans want them to stay for selfish reasons. They want them to come back and play on their basketball team. I want him to come back and stay and get his education, even though that's the most corny one. Many of them don't do that. We know if they're staying to improve their skills. Hopefully, the education that they're getting, some of it will rub off on them, and they will decide, oh, this isn't too bad. Maybe I can look into this. Maybe I can go into this field or do something a little bit more than what I started to a couple of years ago. So hopefully.
And not only that, but to tie back with the Derek Nix things and what we were just talking about, you have wiggle room to kind of make the young, early 20 kind of college age mistakes now. You know, if you make a mistake, there are coaches out there that say, instead of just, you know, throwing you off a team, we'll work with you, we'll work, you know, to get things straightened out. In the NBA, and sometimes, you know, if you're a low-level player, if you're not a star, you don't necessarily get that wiggle room, and you might be snap, you know, with a big fine or something, and that could really, you know, hurt you.
That's true, and that happens a lot in the NBA. Well, hey, we want to thank you all for listening, and thank you for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing and Michigan State University. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to give us a call. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. We'll have more guests for you tomorrow, so more guests that you can talk to, and hopefully you can give you some thought on some things going on in and about the world sports. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.